Welcome back to TechCrunch Mixtape. I'm Henry Picavet.
I'm Megan Rose Dickey.
Hey, Megan, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
That's I'm fine. This is our second episode.
It is.
Of TechCrunch Mixtape.
True that.
Last week we were at San Quentin. I hope you all got to listen to that episode and take it in. And I liked kicking off Mixtape with that. Even though this is the same. We haven't really talked about the change because last week was a special episode, but
We are the same people.
It's the same people.
Same idea.
Same show.
Just different name, different branding, and a different theme song, as you heard.
And it's more about kind of if we want to get really specific about it, I think, you know, Control T didn't, the name itself, people, there was confusion around it. And, which I understand. We knew what we were doing at the beginning. We made it fit for us.
Right.
And it seemed like it just didn't kind of take. And then I personally didn't have a whole lot of love behind it after a while, the name. And so we had a little brainstorming session with the whiteboard.
Mm-hmm.
And bam, TechCrunch Mixtape, which is just, it's everything. We tell stories, we talk about stories, we go out on the road, we meet people, we interview people. It's a mixtape each week. You never know what you're going to get.
That was good.
Thanks. So this week.
Yeah, this week, what we got?
We're going to talk about, real quickly, we're going to talk about Blavity.
Blavity.
Got some ducats last week, which is.
I haven't heard that word in a while, awesome. Ducats.
And we're going to talk about self-driving cars. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of self-driving car news last week, and you're going to lead that discussion because you know more about it than I do. You also love self-driving cars. I hate them.
I think they're exciting.
And we also have special for you all. Megan and I, you and I went to...
it was Mountain View. Motive.
AI Motive. We drove around in an autonomous car.
Yeah. And it was pretty, you know, uneventful.
It was uneventful. There was honking. There were sudden lane changes.
I honestly didn't. I didn't hear the honking.
Well, let's hold that discussion. There was,
listeners, let us know if you hear any honking.
There was honking. Okay, let's kick this off though.
All right.
Blavity.
Yep. All right. Yeah.
You have spoken to Morgan DeBon, CEO, founder and CEO of Blavity at Disrupt.
Yeah, she was at Disrupt 2 years ago or so, and this was around the time when Blavity was closing its $1 million seed round. And so for those who are not familiar with Blavity, it's a digital media company. They also do events, and they are focused on Black millennials. So in addition to Blavity.com, they also do the Afrotech conference, which is just like a two-day conference around Black people in tech. It's gotten a lot of like really cool people over the years. And yeah, they raised $6 million led by GV, which is Alphabet's venture arm. So GV was formerly known as Google Ventures, but I don't know, they decided to just be GV and have it not mean anything, which is whatever besides the point. But yeah, so, you know, they're doing well. And I was telling Morgan when I was on the phone with her just for the story that Blavity's newsletter is the only newsletter that I open in my email. Like, I'll actually, like, click open on the Blavity newsletter, but really not for anything else. And Henry, I mean, you kind of went down the
rabbit hole today.
What did you read about?
I also, one of the other titles that Blavity produces is Shadow and Act,
mm-hmm.
which I love theater. So it covers a lot about theater and film. It's obviously very critical, which it should be, because diversity issues in theater abound as well. And side note, did you hear that they're going to do a Black version of Buffy?
What?
Starring a black girl.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Where did you read about that?
Did I read about it on Blavity? I don't know. I saw it just over this weekend.
Okay.
That's
cool,
that's
cool.
The kind of story that,
right.
That's the kind of story that, that you're going to hear about because Buffy's so huge.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it back in the day.
Yeah.
But you're going to hear about it in, you know, in mainstream media. But the thing about Blavity is that we just referenced the rabbit hole I just went down. Having a platform, this media platform, where you can tell stories about people you want to tell stories about. So in this case, it is unequivocally designed for Black millennials,
right,
to consume stories about themselves. That the pictures, the images in the stories, are pictures of people that look like them, that reflect back onto them. So they're hearing their stories and they're seeing positive, and there's news and there's culture. And so I just was reading about Michael Jordan, Michael B. Jordan, and I had no idea that there was drama about him and the women he dates.
Yeah, I saw they mentioned it in their newsletter, but then I didn't actually click. But I saw that there was drama around Michael B. Jordan. I didn't click mostly just because I don't really care about him too much. But right. So what's the deal? He like doesn't like Black women or something? Allegedly,
he dates white women, and said something about defending himself. He said something about drinking, liking white milk and chocolate milk. And so I'm reading this, I'm going, what? So I'm clicking in the story and I was like, to prepare to talk about this. And then Lauryn Hill, there's a Lauryn Hill story. Mm. So it's all stuff that we're not necessarily going to read about in the Times.
Right.
Probably for good reason, but Blavity and Morgan DeBon and her team raised $6.5 million seed Series A round.
Right.
Which is huge for media.
Yeah, and as Morgan mentioned in our chat about the round, like we're at a point right now in the media landscape where there's a lot of uncertainty. And so for instance, and especially in like the Black media landscape, there is Essence, for example, which they dropped their editor-in-chief a few months ago. So that was really unexpected. Black Enterprise is reportedly struggling like financially, so it's, and then of course there's like the whole like Univision thing and like Gawker and blah blah blah. So there's just there's not a lot of stability in the space,
in general.
Seems exactly, but then you're like, oh, here's this like Black owned media business just raising $6.5 million from really good investors, like well-known investors, very well-known VC firm. So it's really just a testament to how solid of a business and market opportunity Blavity is tapping into.
It's obviously filling a niche, and people want to read stories. And this is, it just reminds me too of telling your story. I watched this Netflix special over the weekend, Nanette, and everybody's talking about it. She's a lesbian comedian, and she's white.
Okay.
She's on stage at Sydney Opera House, and it's been just over an hour special. But she like lures you in with comedy, right? She sets you up, and then in the last half hour, you're just like wrapped. And what she's really talking about is she's breaking down masculinity, and she's breaking down comedy in general, and her complicit role in kind of being self-deprecating in her own comedy. Mm-hmm. And it was, she like ripped open her chest on stage and just poured everything out. And what I take from that is tell your story.
Yeah.
Tell your story. And Blavity is a platform that is enabling numerous people to tell their stories and to report the stories that are out there that we wouldn't otherwise read about. Congrats, Morgan and
Yeah.
team. This is awesome. I can't wait to see what you all do with the money, and I can't wait till the Series B.
Series B? Want to talk about Netflix now and Shonda Rhimes and Ellen Powell?
Oh, yeah, we can do that.
Yeah. Well, you wrote the story. You like published your maybe first story on deckreds.com, like
the
real story? Like this is a new story.
It wasn't I'm announcing our next episode of the podcast.
Right.
It was like, yeah, I just picked it up and I took a bunch of links and wrote a bunch of stuff down. But Shonda Rhimes, we all, you know, as we all know, last summer announced that she was leaving ABC for Netflix, and you know, probably we all panicked.
Yeah.
We already knew Scandal was about ready to start its last season.
Yeah.
But what does this mean for How to Get Away with Murder, which you don't watch?
Right.
I don't watch Grey's Anatomy, so whatever. But she signed a deal. Her and her partner, Betsy Beers, her production partner, went over to Netflix, and we had no idea what they were going to do. But now we do, because she just announced 7 a slate of seven just at the end of last week, and that's in addition to one that she announced in June.
Which I missed.
There was a New York magazine article about this woman who was posing as a German heiress and bilked people out of hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
So, which is really cool. It's like, and if you think about it too, is the projects that she's adapting. It's like Ellen Powell's memoir, Reset. She tells a story of her, you know, she talks about her life, her career, and then it details the trial, the case that she brought against her former employer, Kleiner Perkins, for gender discrimination. So that's a memoir. There's another book about like life in the White House. Like it's kind of like an upstairs, downstairs slash Downton Abbey.
Yeah,
kind
as
of
I was
situation.
Reading your post, I like how you were just like, it was 2016, so, you know.
Subtle.
Times were a little different.
Subtle, Henry.
Slash, very different.
Yeah. Another one that I'm really excited about that I want to buy the book still. This is based on a book called The Warmth of Other Suns by a Pulitzer Prize-winning author, Isabel Wilkerson. And that tells a story about the how blacks fled the South.
Mm-hmm.
To go north to escape Reconstruction, Jim Crow, and it spans years from 1916 to 1970. So she talked to over 1,200 people and looked at archival footage and records, and it took her 15 years to write. Anna DeVere Smith, who's a playwright and a performer and an actor, she is going to be writing it.
Nice.
Adapting it for Netflix. So Shonda Rhimes is overseeing all of this. And we suddenly have this new slate. But again, going back to like telling your stories, all of this stuff, it's just the New York Magazine. It's an article.
Right.
Right. And then these are books, and it's just bringing these things. And I know that we go see a lot of movies and all this stuff, and it's really just based on what people are writing about. And so it's a reminder to myself. It's a reminder to everybody. Just always talk about your story. Always tell your story, because everybody's story is so important. And you got somebody like Shonda Rhimes who might option it.
Right.
For Netflix.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go home and start writing again tonight.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. I definitely want to read your memoir.
I definitely want to write it.
Yeah.
I think I have 1,200 words right now. Whatever.
Nice. And then last thing I'll say is that, I mean, we don't know who will be cast in any of these, but I would imagine that under Shonda Rhimes' direction, these will be very diverse cast of people, I'm sure, with just boss black women. And yeah, maybe we can actually cut to what she said back when we interviewed her for episode one of Control T. So something I really, really appreciate about your shows is just the presence of really strong black women. Can we expect to see more of that moving forward?
I don't really know any weak black women, so.
Yeah. I love that answer. Awesome. Yeah. And having them as the main characters.
Well, yeah. I mean, to me, what's been great is having the opportunity and the chance to make that a fact as opposed to a discussion or a debate.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to do it with Olivia Pope and then getting to solidify that, like sort of nail it down with Viola Davis.
Right.
And then watching it become a thing that happens on television all the time now was sort of the best. I feel like it's the best thing I've gotten to do as part of my job in a weird way, because it was something that I didn't understand why it wasn't happening. It seemed very silly to me and very narrow thinking. And now, you know, you look around and there's Taraji, and it's just the way it is. And yeah, I mean, I don't consider that to be a bold choice.
So in addition to personal stories, the memoirs and the articles, she is also going to be doing a couple of historic pieces or pieces about history. You know, in history is also The Warmth of Other Suns, but Pico and Sepulveda is set in 1840s California before it was California, which is going to be cool. Obviously, this is going to be educational too.
Yeah.
And then Debbie Allen's Hot Chocolate Nutcracker. I've never seen the Nutcracker.
Same. Or I don't know.
It's good music. I like Tchaikovsky.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't? whatever. But the hot chocolate nutcracker, it's kids, and it's from her dance studio. Mm-hmm. And so Shonda Rhimes is going to do a documentary about this and follow the kids and the production of it. I can't wait to see that.
That's going to be awesome. Yeah. And then do we know when any of these are coming out?
No, I couldn't see any of that information. I mean, all of these are just the only information that we have at this point is not all of them are even titled. Not all of them have writers attached to them.
Mm, so it's early days.
Very, very early days. So I'm thinking obviously probably 2019 for the first one maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
Cool. Nice. So we'll actually see self-driving cars first.
Apparently.
Yeah, because so Zooks.
Zooks.
Self-driving car startup. They recently raised $500 million at a $3.2 billion post money valuation.
So what is $3.2 billion post money valuation? That means that company is worth that much money.
Yeah, it means that. Yeah, that's the valuation based on this latest funding round, which of course is just, you know, it's like made up stuff, but. That's what they like agreed on.
You know what post money valuation I am? It's 50,000. Just give it me the 50,000 for my student loans, and that's nothing.
Yeah.
So congrats, Zooks, I guess. So they want to do electric vehicles that drive themselves.
Electric autonomous. Yeah.
That people can buy, or is this going to be like a ride hailing situation?
Ride hailing. Yeah, like everyone, not everyone, but like that's the. That's a lot of the first use cases that we're seeing. So even in some retirement communities in Florida, Voyage, and they're also in the news last week, self-driving car startup, they have already deployed some of their vehicles in this retirement community. And they actually recently brought on Justin Ehrlich, formerly of Uber. He led up Uber's policy efforts for aviation and autonomous vehicles. And yeah, I mean, so the thing is that self-driving cars are already doing their thing. Like they're already operating rideshare services, and that's the plan for Zooks. That's the plan for Waymo, which also announced that they drive 25,000 miles every day. And Waymo's trying to come out with their ride-sharing service this year. So
it's a lot.
It is.
It's interesting, the bit you're about to hear about Megan's and my having driven in one, at the end, she said that there are a lot of course she said this, but there are a lot of news stories out there that report hours driven. That's in
miles driven.
Miles driven, and
yeah.
That's exactly what Waymo did.
Yeah.
They drive 4 hours a day, which we'll hear about a little bit.
Yeah.
They drive 4 hours a day on the 101.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, do you have anything else to say about it?
Yeah, no, I guess, let's jump in. So yeah, I mean, just a little context. So Henry and I, we visited AI Motive, another self-driving car startup based in Mountain View. We met up with Junting Zhao, AI Motive's head of global operations, went for a test drive. There was, wind.
There was wind.
Okay, there was wind, but
There were bumps.
And bumps, but in the driver's seat. There was like, you know, the safety driver, and then in the passenger seat there was like the technician guy. So we'll hear from all three of them.
The computer here, or the computer screen, is showing diagnostics of what the software is doing for the test operator. And you'll be able to see once we start the application of what the different kinds of things are that they see. So what we're seeing today in this run, this test run, is going to be lane keeping, cruise control, so distance keeping, and a supervised lane change. So when we want to change the lane, we tell the car to do so, and then it will do so. So those are the things that we're seeing today.
And you were saying that about just Highway 101 it being kind of like a perfect test ground?
It's a challenging test ground, yeah. Because the road conditions are so poor. The surface is so uneven. The surface coloring, there's like patches of lighter road surface and darker road surface. The lane markings are not very good. There's tire tracks all over the place. So a lot of things that can confuse the system, basically. Great. And then there are bumps, so you need to adjust for the pitch of what the car is seeing, and then the road tilts sometimes, lots of bridges with shadows. Yeah.
So really, we should be sending this to our government, local government, to have them fix the roads.
That would be great. I think it's just such a... such an important road that they never have time to fix it, I guess.
Yeah, there's
people being used all the time.
Yeah.
We will go into the second lane and then we will engage.
All right.
So now it's driving itself.
Okay. And so, but you still kind of have to keep your hands close just in case. Oh, now you see it's breaking. Huh.
Where?
Because I see it like lit up on the screen.
Can I make a left lane change?
Oh, now it's making...
Now we made a left lane change.
And will the...
He just honked at. He just honked at us, didn't he?
Did he? I didn't hear that.
No.
Uh-oh.
Because he was already in that lane.
That car in front of us just put on its brakes, and this car didn't slow down. Is that because this car could tell that it was just a temporary brake?
No. Yeah.
It's distance-based, so we measure distance, and we try to keep up with the distance according to a time limit. So from now, we are 1.5 seconds behind that vehicle.
Okay. So it has to do with the following distance.
So if he were actually slowing down,
yes,
it would then go from 1.5 to 1 second.
Maybe, but eventually it will catch up and make it 1.5 again.
Annie, what do you think, Henry? Feels smoother than our lift ride
over
here? I'm
terrified. Although our lift ride, he was, I have... On more than one occasion, well, just once, had to tell a Lyft driver to stop driving so erratically for the road conditions.
Okay.
And our Lyft driver today was a little too close to the cars in front of him.
And there was some swerving.
There was some swerving and some quick braking. And I mean, one of the biggest problems when people get in accidents on the highway, I'm sure you found, is you're driving too close to the car in front of you.
Right,
Your reaction time is significantly cut. People take that for granted.
And how many miles per session on average?
On average, so here in the US, because the traffic gets very heavy before 10 a.m. and after 2 p.m. on the 101, so there is a 4-hour time window with which we normally test.
Okay.
What we do have internally is we have rules as to how many hours each safety driver is allowed to drive autonomously each day.
Okay.
And that's a maximum of 4 hours every day. With a minimum of 30 minutes of break in between the different sessions as well.
Okay.
So it's, And then outside of those 101 peak time zones, we can also go out to the 280, for example. But every day we will limit it to 4 hours of autonomous driving per test driver.
Got it.
Is there special training a safety driver needs?
Yes, absolutely. So we, first of all, the DMV and the ABT program has rules as to what kinds of track record you need to have to be able to even qualify to be a safety driver. And then we have our own internal training. It's about 3 weeks, so we always fly everyone out first to Budapest for a closed track, high speed handling, like a race car kind of training. Then we have practical training in the car itself for another 2 weeks. It might be there, it might be here. So they go out with the guys testing on a daily basis, you know, with the experienced drivers. And then when they're here, we always have somebody train them as well who's an experienced driver so that they're very familiar with the US local roads. Yes. And then we refresh that training quarterly so that they will have a few days of another high speed kind of race car like training and so forth.
So by high speed, are you talking 80 miles per hour? Or
yeah, with what higher? We do, what we teach them is, you know, how to behave when the car is finding where the car's limits. So, you know, how high of a speed can you have to go into this kind of a curve, and what is the car gonna do? these kinds of things. And things like slaloming and like finding, you know, the limits of the car so that the safety driver understands that car very, very well and understands its limits and knows what kind of steering it can do and so forth. Okay. We have actually another layer of safety which is built into the drive-by-wire and into the hardware itself. So we have limits as to steering angle, for example. So when you're driving at 65 miles an hour, we do not allow the car autonomously to even send a signal which is too high. So it will never do any kind of center movements, actually.
This is a little tricky here for human drivers. When you got the merge onto the freeway lane.
Yep.
So this car has to slow down, recognize.
Yeah, you see this car, our car is braking a little bit. Yeah.
And that car did not signal.
But it doesn't matter, we're just tracking the object at all times. Yeah. So if it doesn't signal, we can kind of predict his trajectory.
Oh, see, that's what we can't do as humans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So after this guy passes on the right, I'll be disengaging and taking this exit.
Okay.
The reason we don't want to engage here is because there's a giant barrier, so just for safety reasons, I take over.
Cool. And I noticed that, I mean, when we change lanes autonomously, It's a little jerky.
It's a little sporty. Yeah. It's a sporty drive, yes. It's just about how we define the control settings of how it should make that kind of a movement.
So it's on like sporty mode?
It's on sporty mode today. No, yeah, it's a bit on sporty mode right now. We actually, if we were to get exact details and work super closely with the car manufacturers, then we would be able to set the steering wheel to smaller angle degrees, so it would be even smoother.
I see.
And that's why, you know, yeah, in the future, before it goes into production, we would definitely be able to set that so that everything would be super smooth.
Okay.
Do you take the cars out every day and test?
Yeah. Every day, yeah. Every day.
Like they're pets.
What?
I feel like they're pets.
Take them out for a drive, yeah.
They have funny names too. This one is called Pumbaa. Yeah.
This one's called Pumbaa?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what makes me nervous when I drive is when I change lanes, uh-huh, the cars next to me, are they changing lanes at the same time? Mm-hmm. You know, so like the self-driving car is going to detect movement on that side and either correct its movement and stay in its own lane?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Because that's one of the benefits of the self-driving car. You know, we're processing all of the cameras at the same time. We can see around all 360 degree around us all the time.
We can't.
Humans can't, yeah.
We got blind spots.
Yeah.
Yeah, trucks always make me nervous.
Yeah,
cool. So you had to react quick there.
Yes.
Right? All right, good work, good work. Thank you.
But theoretically, I mean, do you think the car could have handled it, but for safety reasons, you're like, let's just not?
Yes, it exactly, yeah. Okay. Because we have guests and everything, so...
Well, thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it.
I mean, have you ever hit a wrong... I mean, you could hit a wrong key. He's got a keyboard in his lap.
We have key combinations that are hard to press. So we just use different combinations, maybe three or two keys per lane change, so
no
error for typos.
And your title is what? What's your role?
Well, I'm a control engineer, and now I'm the operator.
Test operator. He has a full-on big keyboard in his lap and a monitor in front of him that.
Yeah, looks 18 like a video inch game. Monitor.
Is that 18 inch?
From LG.
Yeah. From LG, who
product placement.
Who doesn't sponsor us. We just like to point that out. I see code, I see a screen, and I see lanes. Diagnostics is what I'm looking at.
Stereo camera. So basically you see what the system seats. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. So, like, what is the purple?
And the driver, the safety driver. Oh. Good work,
that
good work.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, we changed lanes, and then shortly after, someone else changed lanes in front of us, and we're chilling.
And the guys in the front didn't panic. And we're still here. We're
yeah,
cool.
But so back to the monitor, though. So what is the purple? The purple, does that signify the lane that we should be in, and the green are, like, the edges?
Separators of our ego lane and, well...
So you mean in the big picture, the purple?
Yeah.
The purple is the road, and the green are the lane markings, and the green on the left and right are the other lanes.
I see. Yeah.
You can see a total of three lanes.
If it's red, it means it's solid. Green is allowable. It means that we can change lanes. So so now it's green because we are in the ego lane.
Okay.
What I've learned today so far is that human drivers are maniacs. And
indeed. Yes.
They don't watch where they're going.
Yeah, I mean, I think autonomous vehicles are clearly thinking a lot more about taking the right action. That's whereas humans are like, hopefully this will be okay.
Here we have a rather big curve coming up.
So
uneven road surfaces.
Yeah.
Which you have to factor into the code.
We need to factor it into the training data so that it knows that that's still just road and not something else.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Microsoft. Can we try a right lane change?
Yes, changing the green.
So the driver, the safety driver, requests a lane change.
Yes, because he sees both wind mirrors.
Because he can see.
Same time, yeah.
And then you
and
make the lane change happen.
Yeah, I'm just putting out the command for the system.
On the keyboard.
Yes, on the keyboard.
No typos.
We can't. It's impossible to make any typos here, so okay. It's fail safe.
All right. I trust you. Because, you know, I'm out here and, you know, that truck is long and it was coming into our lane.
Mm-hmm.
And he could have done one of these and we would have to have done one of these. And then that's why.
If there wasn't a car over there.
That's why every car needs to be autonomous.
And talk to each other. Yeah.
Yeah. Also touch on the point that we're not trying to collect miles. So we know, yes, of course, you know, everybody needs to submit their mile data at the end of the year to
mm-hmm.
the DMV and everything, and then you have a lot of, like, news articles on how many miles
right.
somebody's driven and how many miles per disengagement.
Uh-huh.
That information is a little bit, well, it doesn't tell the whole story, and it can be misleading. So of course, if you deploy tons of vehicles driving on familiar roads, you're going to reach up to a lot of miles.
Right.
And if you don't push the software development, then you're going to have fewer disengagements. So what we do is... thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much. You did great. So what were we saying that you guys do that's more...
What we do is we try to actually develop the software all the time. So we're pushing the system when we're testing on the daily tests. Not now, but like in the usual daily tests.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we are not afraid of disengagements. Oh, okay.
Oh,
yeah. we're not looking for them, but in a way we're looking for them. Because if no disengagements and no problems would happen, then we wouldn't see what the issues would be actually in the software.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't develop. So we're trying to... We're not actually trying to collect easy, comfortable miles at AM Motive.
Great. Thank you so much.
Nice. Thank you so much.
I'll admit that that wasn't that bad. While you're in it, I was, as I said, terrified. But you know, he had his hands super close to the wheel. But there were just we were probably total on the 101 for maybe 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We went south, and then got back on the freeway, went north. And there were cars trying to cut in front of us.
Right.
There was a big truck trying to move over on us that stopped and moved back. We were honked at. It was on my side. This is what happened. The car went over, our car went over into the, it didn't go over into the next lane, but it wasn't driving in a perfectly straight line.
So it was kind of like.
And the person next was honked. It was a little light touch of the horn, but I heard it. None of you all heard it. Whatever, it doesn't matter. It's over. Nobody got hurt.
But I just love how defensive they were about it. They're like, no.
No, we didn't get honked. But
it's like, it's all right. People get honked at. It's not a big deal.
But yeah, and to the point about Lyft, I was in a Lyft yesterday and leaving the baseball game. And the driver decided he didn't want to sit in this traffic anymore. And he signaled left, got into the next lane to the left, which was actually the oncoming traffic lane.
Jesus.
And I wasn't in a mood. I wasn't in the mood to say anything. So I just sat there. I was like, what are you going to do? What's your next move?
Like, what are you going to do? Or was it the driver going?
What's his next move? He was like, oh, I'm not supposed to do this. Yeah. Anyway. Yes. So human drivers do stupid things. I sometimes probably don't do great things on the road. Probably drive too fast.
Mm-hmm.
When I have cars. But I obviously see the value. The point has to be, though, every car has to be autonomous for this to really be effective. You know what I mean? We were talking about that in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Because this autonomous, it's like it's doing things and it's being taught based on human interaction, based on what pedestrians, yes. But if there are other autonomous vehicles, I just feel like they're all going to be moving uniformly next to each other. So
yeah.
That's why I say everything needs to be autonomous for this to be effective.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the ideal futuristic viewpoint.
I will miss driving. I won't be alive when this is I will be long gone by the time every car is autonomous. So.
I mean, we might all be by the time every car is autonomous. I mean, that's going to be a while.
All right, Megan,
let's wrap this up.
Well, talk to you next week, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for listening to TechCrunch Mixtape.
Ciao. Too much. And I can't hear myself.
Yeah, you can.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Can you hear yourself?
Can I hear myself?
Can I hear myself?
Can I hear myself?
It's a saying. Hello?
Hello? Okay.
All right. So
what are we talking about?
This is the first episode of...
Second.
I mean... This is the second episode.
Really, it's like the 30th.
Okay, but it's the second of TechCrunch Mixtape.
TechCrunch Mixtape.
Known as TechCrunch Mixtape. Oh, what the fuck? So, pumped to be back in the stew.
All of this laughing needs to be cut.
Yeah, Pan says I laugh too much and it ruins my points. So,
straight up said that to you?
I mean, in a nicer way.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm just like, all right. I mean, that's fair.
Yeah.
Because if I'm talking about something serious, and then next thing I know,
that's nervous laughter,
right?
That you do,
right?
And to fill space, maybe I don't know. Who fucking knows?
Maybe
why you laugh? I'm just used to the. Who fucking knows why you laugh? That sounded funny. welcome back to Mixtape. Wait, TechCrunch Mixtape. What?
Start over.
What did I used to say?
Welcome back to Control T.